Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, May 7th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Amy Hirsch, who is the Associate Minister of Family Ministries here at the church and is a friend to so many of us. And so, Amy, we welcome you to the podcast and thank you for joining us today.
Today's New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 through 38. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Today's reading from the Book of Psalms is from Psalm 143, a Psalm of David. "Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands before you. I thirst for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant." Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Zechariah, chapter 11. Open your doors, Lebanon, so that fire may devour your cedars. Wail, you juniper, for the cedar has fallen, the stately trees are ruined. Wail, oaks of Bashan, the dense forest has been cut down. Listen to the wail of the shepherds, their rich pastures are destroyed. Listen to the roar of the lions. The lush thicket of the Jordan is ruined. This is what the Lord my God says. Shepherd the flock marked for slaughter. Their buyers slaughter them and go unpunished. Those who sell them say, "Praise the Lord, I am rich." Their own shepherds do not spare them. For I will no longer have pity on the people of the land, declares the Lord. I will give everyone into the hands of their neighbors and their king. They will devastate the land, and I will not rescue anyone from their hands. So I shepherded the flock marked for slaughter, particularly the oppressed of the flock. Then I took two staffs and called one favor and the other union, and I shepherded the flock. In 1 month I got rid of the three shepherds. The flock detested me, and I grew weary of them, and said, "I will not be your shepherd. Let the dying die and the perishing perish. Let those who are left eat one another's flesh." Then I took my staff called favor and broke it, revoking the covenant I made with all the nations. It was revoked on that day, and so the oppressed of the flock who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. I told them, "If you think it best, give me my pay, but if not, keep it." So they paid me 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, "Throw it to the potter," the handsome price at which they valued me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them to the potter at the house of the Lord. Then I broke my second staff called Union, breaking the family bond between Judah and Israel. Then the Lord said to me, "Take again the equipment of a foolish shepherd. For I am going to raise up a shepherd over the land who will not care for the lost, or seek the young, or heal the injured, or feed the healthy, but will eat the meat of the choice sheep, tearing off their hooves. Woe to the worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May the sword strike his arm and his right eye. May his arm be completely withered, his right eye totally blinded."
Thank you so much, Amy, for being a part of the podcast today. Amy is the Associate Minister of Family Ministries here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church. And Amy, we so thank you for all that you do at Mountain Brook. I just want the people who are listening to the podcast to know a little bit more about you. Tell us a little bit about your history and your family.
Well, like Mary said, my name is Amy, and I grew up in North Carolina and moved to Birmingham in 2009. So I've been attending Mountain Brook since then and have been on staff since 2016. I'm married to Matt, who is from Birmingham. He grew up in North Shelby County and went to Oak Mountain High School. And we have one daughter, Eliza Ruth.
Now, I want to hear just a little bit more about Eliza Ruth. How old is she right now, and what are some of the things she is doing currently?
She is 6 months old. She was born on October 29th, 3 days after Matt's birthday. So I always like to say it was his belated birthday present. And she is really into everything these days. She's not crawling yet, but anything of interest near her, she is grabbing. So taking her socks off. If mom has her phone, she's, you know, sending text messages these days to various people interested in whatever books we have. She is very active and such a good learner. She also loves, speaking of books, she loves to read books. And so we spend lots of time at night reading books, and she knows how to turn pages. And she loves to touch the pictures and look at the pictures. Matt and I both love to read, and so we hope that that is a good sign for her, that she'll have a love of literature as well.
Amy, I wanted to ask you how you came to faith, or tell me a little bit about your journey with Christ.
Sure. I grew up in Western North Carolina, and my family was in and out of church during my more formative younger years. We started going to my home church when I was finishing up fifth grade and went to Vacation Bible School. Growing up, I was really a goody two-shoes. So I was the kid that when you were misbehaving on a field trip, the punishment was that you had to sit beside me on the bus because I would just read. It was kind of boring. I was probably a know-it-all. I was a teacher's pet. And to say all that, I was very self-righteous. And throughout my life, I had heard that Jesus died on the cross, but I never really understood why he had to do that. So we went to Vacation Bible School, and I remember hearing the gospel presented for the very first time. And that night, a kid who really had been very mischievous, who I was in school with, who had ridden beside me on the bus during a lot of field trips, named Charlie McLaughlin, he came to faith. And I remember that night laying in my bed thinking, I'm no better than Charlie. I'm a sinner just like he is, and was just so burdened by this truth and seeing my self-righteousness and my need for the Lord. So I came to faith that summer in Vacation Bible School and was baptized and then continued to grow in my faith through my church there and went to college at South Carolina where the Lord continued to work in my life in a myriad of ways.
Well, just a follow-up question to that. How did you then end up serving as a minister here at Mountain Brook Baptist?
Well, that's a great question. And Mary, I feel like you can probably tell this story as well as I can. I went to the University of South Carolina because I received a scholarship there. I was not a Gamecock fan at the time, but you know, now I bleed garnet and cry every football season like the rest of those of us who are here and cheering for that team. And I started out majoring in education thinking that I wanted to be a teacher. I was really involved in Baptist Campus Ministries in BCM, and through that involvement, I did summer missions, I did some local missions work, and I really began to think about calling and think about changing my major. And at the time, I said, I'm not going to be a minister, but I'm really interested in doing religion as my major. So I'm just going to change my major to religion. And so I did that. And looking back, I can see the Lord's hand at work and sowing all these seeds in my life. And by the time I was about to graduate, I really felt a call to ministry and a call to pursuing seminary. And that's where you, Mary, and Wayne came in. So my junior year of college, Wayne and Mary were interns at the BCM. And I got to know them, and they knew that I was starting to look at seminary. And all of a sudden, I began to get mail from Beeson Divinity School. I don't remember signing up for mail from Beeson. Maybe I did. But Wayne and Mary had gone there, and they spoke so highly of Beeson. I had never been to Birmingham. I had never been to Alabama. But I thought, after hearing them sing Beeson's praises and getting some information about them, I thought, let me just go visit. And so Wayne and Mary had moved back to Birmingham. They were on staff doing student ministry here at Mountain Brook. And so I came over Martin Luther King weekend in 2009, which seems like a long time ago because it was, and has stayed in the Yellow Missionary House while they lived there and went to visit Beeson and fell in love with the city and with the school and never looked back. And so we joke that I ended up at Mountain Brook because where else was I going to go? They brought me to Birmingham, so I would be at Mountain Brook, of course. And I've been so grateful to be a part of this body of believers and this fellowship. I finished at Beeson in 2013 and then worked in the office of a Presbyterian church for a couple of years before being able to come on staff at Mountain Brook. So I've been here on staff since 2016.
As you were reading the scriptures today, did anything stand out to you or anything that you would like to provide a little commentary on for us?
So as I was reading Psalm 143, there were parts of it that really resonated with me. I love the Psalms because I think that they mirror what it looks like to live the Christian life, the ups and downs. So I love that we have these beautiful psalms of praise that come alongside psalms of lament and crying out to the Lord and really coming to Him in honesty. And so as I was reading Psalm 143, I was really struck by this person who's coming to God and who feels faint and their heart's dismayed and they're longing, they're suffering. And I was thinking about in my own life seasons where I have been waiting on the Lord to answer a prayer. For a long period of my life, it was waiting for the Lord to answer this prayer in the midst of singleness. I was longing for companionship and for relationship. And just was thinking about in those days, often what I would have to do is to preach the gospel back to myself and to remember the Lord's goodness. And so verse 5 really struck me of Psalm 143. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. And so in those moments of longing, and we all have those, right? And when the Lord answers one prayer, there's another prayer. We are all in the school of waiting, as my friend Betsy Childs Howard would say in her book, Seasons of Waiting. We're all waiting for something. And ultimately, what we're waiting for is we're waiting for the Lord, and we're waiting for restoration and for redemption and to be made whole and to see Him face to face. But in that waiting, one thing that is helpful to me is to look back on all the ways that I have seen the Lord at work and I have seen His faithfulness, and to call those out and to say, because I have seen you yesterday and you were faithful, I will trust that you are faithful today, even when what I'm walking through is really hard. I love verse 8. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. And so I love that there are psalms that where the psalmist is so honest before the Lord with his needs and his desires and his hurts and his fears. But even that, where the psalmist says, and yet I will trust you, Lord. I trust your love. I trust that you are good. Show me the way to go. So that's been one truth that stuck out to me from that reading.
We are so grateful that you have joined us today, Amy. And again, thank you for all you do for our church. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word, that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. We're grateful for the promise that you have spoken to us through your word and that you continue to speak to us through your Spirit. Please be at work in our hearts that we would become more like Christ. We pray that wherever we go today and the people that we encounter, that they would all know your love and your grace and your mercy because of our interactions with them. Please help us as we are your representatives to truly love God and to live with grace and generosity. We thank you for Jesus and that our hope is in Him, in life and in death. I pray this in your name. Amen.